This is Jay Sekulow. The race for the White House 2020 begins today.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The balance of power shifting last night. Democrats taking control of the House for the first time since 2010. Meanwhile, in the Senate, Republicans expanding their majority, knocking off Democratic incumbents in several hotly contested races.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We'll have accountability and we will strive for bipartisanship. With fairness on all sides, we will have a responsibility to find our common ground where we can, stand our ground where we can't, but we must try.
I always have to tell constituents who think we all hate each other that the Senate's a pretty collegial place, and even though we had obviously big differences over things like taxes and judges, there were plenty of other things we did together, and there's no reason that would stop simply because the House now becomes Democratic.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Since 1934, there's only been four times when the president's party, party in power, picked up Senate seats. And usually it was one or two. And we had a rather earth-shaking moment in the United States Senate yesterday. The House has gone to the Democratic Party. So what's called a split government is in place. The House controlled now by the Democratic leadership and the Democrats. The Senate, clearly controlled by the Republicans, with anywhere from, it looks like, 54 to 55 Senate seats when it's all done. And then, of course, the White House is the president, and that's the Republican as well. So that's the way the government is set up. I said at the beginning of this that in a real sense that this is now the beginning of the 2020 election cycle, and I think that's true, just the nature of how you look at it. Now, the Republicans on a statewide basis did very, very well. House seats, look, this is what happens in midterms. We were saying yesterday there was a chance. I thought it was going to be much closer. I thought it was going to be plus three one way or another. It wasn't in the House of Representatives. A lot of seats to defend.
Yeah, what I think is the big takeaway here is how well Republicans are doing statewide.
Yeah, I think the thing we have to focus on is that you have to understand that statewide issues are a barometer for the general election.
Look at Florida statewide. Look at Ohio statewide. I mean, these were, again, states that are battleground states coming into the 2020 election cycle, which I think began the moment that President Trump took the podium just seconds ago from the White House. And you look at that. Yes, there were issues for Republicans in newly drawn congressional districts. And the Democrats they ran some very good candidates. They picked up some good seats. That being said, there was not a blue wave last night.
The media's even saying it.
No, there was no blue wave, and it started when they didn't win Kentucky 6, so they weren't winning everything that they'd have to win. Let me give you an example of what a wave looks like. In 2010, after President Obama's first 2 years and Obamacare passed, Republicans picked up 63 House seats. 63, so double the amount, plus six Senate seats. The Democrats last night lost Senate seats. So I think if there was any kind of blue wave moving through a House, there was the red wall in the statewide races.
Yep.
So when states came together and voted, they were still, and these were battleground states we're talking about to pick up
Florida,
seats.
Ohio,
you don't pick up Florida, Indiana, Missouri. I mean, taking down Claire McCaskill, taking down Heidi Heitkamp, taking down Joe Donnelly and Bill Nelson, those are major wins for Republicans. And so that means there was a red wall at the state level.
Yeah. So, Dan, what is the reaction right now? What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think Democrats here in Washington, D.C. sort of performed right in the middle of the model in which they were expecting to. But look, I think even Nancy Pelosi would tell you that it wasn't a blue wave because they didn't go into Republican-leaning districts and win. They just won the toss-up states. Jay, I know we'll get to it even more. Three pickups in the United States Senate in a midterm election, that is a big achievement.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think the ramifications of that we haven't even begun to see. All right, we want your reaction to all this. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls and comments. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot of analysis to give. We're going to do that when we come back from the break again. We want to know your reaction to last night's election. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we're giving you the results from last night and analysis. I think the presidential election for 2020 begins. Let's go to Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, and kind of get your take on last night.
Well, number one, I would suggest that the blue wave actually became a blue ripple against the red wall, particularly at the state level. It's clear that the Dems took the House, but the Republicans gained in the Senate, and we face the prospect of divided government. Yep. And so the president will face intense opposition, I think, in the House, and it will make it difficult to achieve legislative victories, although there are some possibilities on the table.
I think that the Democrats have to be very careful, Wes, to not, you cannot, if they want to move their agenda forward, it cannot be just nothing happened for the next 2 years. So I think when you look at things like infrastructure, criminal justice reform, there's some, maybe a middle class tax cut. I think there are a lot of issues that can move forward. And I think they would be wise to try to get some legislative agenda. Doesn't mean they're not going to do oversight. You expect these things, but you got to be careful.
You really do. But thus far, Jay, the Dems, by and large, seem to be pretty short-sighted on these things. They've been breathing out threats and cursings against this administration and promising that they're going to launch investigations. Nadler, who now heads up the Judiciary Committee, has promised not only to investigate impeaching the president, but impeaching Justice Kavanaugh. So hopefully they will moderate. They'll pull back from some of this vitriolic language, because you're right. This is their chance, if they want to win again in 2020, yeah, this is their chance to cooperate and to actually move agenda forward and get some things done.
If you're President Trump, please open up the idea of impeaching a Supreme Court justice who just got confirmed, or impeaching the President of the United States, because you took the House.
Yeah.
And you have no chance of doing it in the Senate. No, Republicans have kept warning them, hello, look what happened to us. They say it tongue-in-cheek.
I don't know if we had that from last night. I mean, Lindsey Graham said that. He said I'd warned them. That he said, I've been down this road on this issue of bringing impeachment actions in the House. To convict in the Senate, you have to have 66 votes. That's not going to happen.
They would be wasting their energy, and as you said, Jay, they'd be really sacrificing a real opportunity to get something done, which would make them look good.
Yeah, I mean, here's what Senator Lindsey Graham said about last night.
The reason we won is I think Kavanaugh united our party. The caravan was a front to our sovereignty. The economy was good, and President Trump worked his butt off to get out the Republican base vote. And I'm feeling really good now.
All right, there's Senator Lindsey Graham. And he was on the House Impeachment Committee on regarding President Clinton. And I think he said last night something to the effect that didn't work out so good for the Republicans. Yeah. And if we can find that bite, I think it would be helpful. It was on I saw it on Fox last night. I couldn't tell you what time it was, but it was later in the evening, but he said that. But let's you want to go ahead and take a call?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying it was interesting what the president's saying right now. We don't have to cut to it. He'd already said it while we were in the break, was that he is going through. He said you're mostly focused on the Senate because it's tough to focus on, you know, so many House races as one person. But then he did focus on some House races that would be key, like Andy Barr's. And he said he went to Andy Barr's, and guess what? Andy Barr won. And then he started naming all of the Republicans who lost last night who told him to stay away. And he named them by name just now from the White House. And so it's like Carlos Curbelo, Barbara Comstock, who said stay away. And he said, look what happened to the people who said stay away. They lost. But he's putting some of the blame on the House side of those who would not fully embrace his agenda. Because, and I think, look at statewide. In Florida, statewide in Florida, his agenda is winning. It's winning in Ohio. Mike DeWine is not a typical like Donald Trump type candidate.
Yep.
Former U.S. senator, former state attorney general, easy victory.
Yeah.
In Ohio, Balderson. Remember that was a tough special election.
Yep.
Easy victory in Ohio. Trump Republican.
Yeah.
Those who embraced Donald Trump last night, for the most part, we're the ones who had the easy victories.
All right, let's go ahead. We're taking calls as well. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Yeah.
Let's grab a call.
Yeah, Jerry calling in from Rhode Island on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello. Noticing Mr. Nadler said they're going to go after Kavanaugh. Notice the Senate seats that were lost last night? They voted again. And Manchin, who voted for, stayed in.
Every Democrat that lost last night voted against Kavanaugh, which most of them did. The only one that won was Manchin, and you're absolutely correct, and he voted in favor of Kavanaugh. Tham, what does that say?
Well, the president said this was going to be about Brett Kavanaugh and the caravan, and I think that's absolutely right. Those are the four pickups you got. Bill Nelson, Joe Donnelly, Claire McCaskill, Heidi Heitkamp all voted against Brett Kavanaugh. All were defeated in the reelection. Joe Manchin, even though his yes vote came late, Jay, I'm not sure he should have gotten the credit for he did, but he cast a vote for Brett Kavanaugh, and he was reelected. One other point, Jay, just on the economy. This is why you work so hard to get the tax cuts and the reg relief done in the first 2 years, because if you have those, they can't be taken back. Now you inject a little certainty into the market. I'd say look out.
Yep. All right, we're taking your call, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Harry, the going forward issue for the House Democrats, there'll be oversight. We kind of expect that. But they're also going to have to try to move something forward legislatively. And I do think there's some common ground that could be reached.
I think that's correct. But I would start with this observation. We should not underestimate the ability of Democrats to be short-sighted in the short run. I think it would bode well for the Democrats to cooperate with the president on immigration reform, for instance, on infrastructure, and on lowering drug prices. But many Democrats are excessively exercised by this particular president. And so the question that presents itself to Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic leadership is, can she control her own leaders?
Yeah.
Or will they indeed be unleashed to focus on the past rather than the future?
Yeah.
And so that is, I think, the challenge that confronts
her. Very well said, Harry. Yeah.
Well, if a sitting president can only control one chamber of Congress, it needs to be the Senate. And that's exactly
that's
what
it is. Because of the judges, absolutely.
Well, the judges, and then any treaties or agreements with the status of treaties have to be approved by the Senate.
Ambassadors.
And not only that, if the House, which controls the purse strings, if they come up with crazy legislation on money, the Senate can either block it or force them to negotiate. So it's
the real firewall. I mean, that's why the founders were geniuses in setting up the system that we have with two chambers in the Congress. And again, it'll be very interesting to see going forward how it moves, what legislation is. What's your gut feeling on this, Jordan?
I think, listen, you've got a couple chances of legislation. You got things like infrastructure, potentially some, I think that's probably number one, maybe some other economic issues possibly a trade on immigration.
Yep.
That'll be up to the House Democrats if they'll trade DACA for a wall. But I think President Trump was willing to do that. So that,
and I think they would do that.
And if they do, then there's two huge issues.
Oh, if you can get DACA and the security fence, the security and the border.
And also major infrastructure.
I would think that, you know, I know some people will disagree with me on this, but I've always thought the DACA thing should be resolved.
Yeah.
And if you could do that in the context of a border wall, I think that's the right. I've always said that. Here's what Nancy Pelosi, kind of tempering down the language here. Here's what she said last night.
We'll have accountability and we will strive for bipartisanship with fairness on all sides. We will have a responsibility to find our common ground where we can, stand our ground where we can't, but we must try.
Well, there you have it. And I think, you know, look, now the question will be, and we don't know this, Dan, is she going to be the speaker?
It's a great question. We don't know the answer to that, Jay. It looks like she's going to be able to afford about 12 defections. If they have 230 seats, she can only afford 12 defections. Jay, just looking at the numbers, we don't have all the races in yet, but there's probably going to be about 20 Democrats who campaign saying they would not vote for her for speaker. So that's the first question you have to answer. The second one, Jay, is no matter who the speaker is, whether it's Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, or anybody else, if President Trump comes to them and makes the same offer he made last year, which is basically, I'll give you what you wanted on a pathway to citizenship, and I'll actually multiply it by three, but you have to secure the border. I think that's a package that about 75% of Americans would agree with. Is that Speaker of the House really going to say no to that offer? I'm not so sure.
I don't. Yeah, not so sure at all. All right, we'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break. Where do you think the Senate ends up at the end here?
Well, 54, I think, you know, we haven't talked a lot about the tester race yet. There could be another pickup by Republicans. That race is not yet called. That's really the only outstanding.
So it's a 53 right now, right?
Rosendale is in charge. So, yeah, I mean, so it's in the lead, but only 84% reporting. So there could be five pickups by Republicans, but there's one pickup by Democrats. So that'd be four total. So that'd be 55 if they take Montana. If they don't, it's 54. It's a 54. And I think the other races that aren't called in the Senate, Arizona is going to go Republican. That was a Republican seat, though. So that's just a keeping it the same. Same for Mississippi. It'll be a runoff. Between a Republican and a Democrat, but there were two Republicans in it. Republican who got the third most votes, those are all going to go Republican. It's going to hold on to, you know, Republicans will win.
Right.
That's the end of the month.
If
so,
you want, yeah. It's, yeah.
So the question is, does Tester go down? Does another no Kavanaugh vote, let's put it that way,
and the Georgia
go
race
down.
Was closer than people thought in the
It was closer,
race.
Though. I think Stacey Abrams, by not conceding, is beginning to embarrass herself.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that when we come back. All right, for those on Facebook and Periscope, we're going to go right to the press conference. We'll be back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Now we'll go to the press conference.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go right to the phones. We're getting your reaction to this. I keep saying, look, I think the re-election for the president started this morning. Yeah. And he's speaking, as we're on the air live, he's speaking to the press, taking questions, and we're going to go to that during the breaks. All right, let's go ahead and go right back to the phone. Jordan, who do we have?
Sure, let's go to Steve in Florida on line 4. Steve, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys, how are you today?
Good.
You know, I caught Nancy Pelosi's victory speech, I guess, for lack of a better word, and it's just amazing that anyone who watched that can sit there and listen to everything she was saying, and then on the other side, she's sitting there saying, oh, we need to impeach President Trump and impeach Kavanaugh, and that anyone can take her seriously. And I just think that we're in for a rough 2 years.
Let me jump in on that. So a couple things. Number one, so look, there's the rhetoric's one thing. That's for all political parties. And then the reality, we got to govern. I mean, they're a majority. The Democrats are a majority in the House, so they have to govern. That does not mean they won't do oversight. So we may be, you know, the people were just asking the president about battling subpoenas. So we'll be prepared for those. And there's all kinds of issues that may or may not arise during that, if it happens. But at the same time, you got to govern and you got to move things forward. And government can come to a standstill if you overplay the oversight.
Absolutely. And so I think that's the risk. And I think Nancy Pelosi will have to balance legislative achievement with keeping her base, for lack of a better term, reined in, because many individuals want to focus on investigations. They want to focus, as I said before, on the past rather than the future. So I think in terms of benefiting the American people, it would be helpful if Nancy Pelosi could focus on the future. And I think that's an open question, and it's going to be difficult to forecast what the answer to that question will be at this particular moment in time.
But she's capable of it, Jay, and she's a shrewd politician, and politicians, if they really want to get reelected, they do need to get things done. And in the For What It's Worth department, as Nadler and the congresswoman from California have called for impeachment, it was Nancy Pelosi, as the minority leader, who was telling them not to do that. She was advising them, do not even use the word impeachment. She has the opportunity to be a good faith partner and to be a good politician and move things forward if she will. But she was not one of the ones who was talking about impeachment.
No,
in the last
she was not.
Months.
Yeah, I want to be clear on that. Yeah.
No, but if she lets the party be hijacked by that, by the Nadler types, the Maxine Waters types, we just heard from the president, bring it on, because we will turn it on you. Remember, we just added to seats in the U.S. Senate, yeah. And so you want to be subpoenaed as well about the Clinton, all those things people call in about the Clinton matters. You want to bring all that back up again? How about all the FBI problems and all of those issues?
Yeah, I mean, Senate has oversight too.
A lot better oversight, actually. Yeah. A lot more resources. So yeah. if they decide to not govern and just politically fight it out, I take the Senate resources over the House resources every day of the week.
I don't know if they're going to do that, though. Than, I was going to ask you this.
It depends on if she can keep these people in line.
But don't you think the real loser of last night, Than, was Chuck Schumer?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. And look, it may be Nancy Pelosi as well. And here's why. Let me just merge what Jordan and Wes said together. Nancy Pelosi was talking about impeachment until about 2 months ago. And when she stopped talking about it was when Democrats in purple districts who opposed impeachment and actually were willing to work with President Trump started winning. Those were largely the Democrats in purple districts who won last night. So the question will be, when Nancy Pelosi has that conversation with those members, can she convince them that she's going to govern? If she does, then she'll probably remain speaker and they will try to govern. Jay, if she can't convince them, if they think she wants to drive the party towards impeachment, investigations, and all of the rest, I don't expect she'll be a speaker at all. So Chuck Schumer, he's a long way, Jay, from the majority leader in the United States Senate.
I think that's absolutely correct. All right, we're taking big setback for the Senate Democrats. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Victor in New York on line 2. Victor, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Victor. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay. God bless you, your family, and the ACL. Jay, you're welcome. Jay, two questions. Actually, it's just one, but a little caveat. The president, to protect him from aggressive litigation from this new Congress, what do we do, and how do you feel about Georgia? That's it.
I think Georgia. I'll defer to Jordan on Georgia. I mean, what do you think's going to happen in Georgia? And then
I think Brian Kemp won decisively, and I think Stacey Abrams is down. You know, 70,000 something votes. She won't concede. She had the big celebrity endorsements. I never thought she had a chance in Georgia. She did do better than expected. It tells you, like the O'Rourke race in Texas, I compare the similar because celebrity kind
of a lot of money
move and candidates whose popularity is a little bit in question at the moment. Guess what? By tomorrow, the end of the week, you know, Ted Cruz is going to be a senator for another 6 years.
Yep.
And Brian Kemp is going to be the governor of Georgia for four. There are not enough votes left in Georgia. I've worked in Georgia politics on a number of campaigns. There's not enough votes left for Stacey Abrams to win. She needs to do the right thing and concede, or else you look like the sore loser. Instead of going on a high note as someone who almost pulled it off,
yep,
could be a big voice in the Democrat Party, obviously struck a tone with a lot of people in Georgia that's a pretty red state, and there are, you know, other things to do. And instead, by not moving forward, I think that is what it's a political mistake.
Now, so Victor also asked, you know, what does the president do to protect himself? Well, I mean, the truth from, you know, if there's going to be this oversight investigation, it's not a question of protecting yourself. It's what are the legal options that a president, any president, would have in response to oversight. And there's political calculations and there's legal calculations. There's Article 2 issues. There's also the issue of let's go to the press conference right now.
That this caravan was an invasion, as you know, Mr. President,
I consider it to be an invasion.
As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me that. And
why did you characterize it as such?
Because I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants in this election to try to keep
them? I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process. I want it to be a process, and I want people to come in, and we need the people.
Your campaign.
You know why we need the people, don't you? Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
Right. But your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and
so on.
Well,
that's true.
They
weren't actors.
They're not going to be doing
that.
They
weren't actors. Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood. Right. These were people. This was an actual, you know, it happened a few days ago. And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, Mr. President. Right.
I didn't know that was going to be the parting line.
But there
you
have it. So this is two different journalists from CNN. Microphones, they won't let them be taken away, even though they just keep harassing the president, basically. This plays right into the president's hand.
He can handle it. This is so ridiculous. When they do this, it just makes him stronger.
Yes, because he just took them down right then.
Yeah. Ben's laughing. Ben?
I mean, they're opposed to the message of border security and a legal way to enter the country. I mean, if the other side wants to run on that, good luck in 2 years.
By the way, I like what the president said. We need immigrants coming into the United States because we got a lot of companies moving here and we have a lot of jobs to fill. That's how, and we're a country of immigrants. So I think this can be, I think DACA can be worked out. I think you're going to see immigration reform under Donald Trump. Can you imagine that? Comprehensive immigration reform under Donald Trump. All right, we'll take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. Facebook and Periscope, stay tuned. We're going to go right back to this very interesting press conference in just a moment. We'll be back with more, including your calls. 800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls, 800-684-3110. So here's how I view it. The Democrats got control of the House of Representatives, and that's a win for the Democrats. The Republicans gained seats in the United States Senate, could be as many as 55. That is also a win for the Republicans and a win for the president, because the ultimate firewall in any of these issues is the United States Senate. That's the cooling off point, they used to call it. And that's how I view it. So the Democrats won the House. The statewide races tended to go to the Republicans, although the Democrats picked up some governorships as well. And the 2020 campaign starts. That's how I view it. But I'm going to go right around the horn here and kind of get everybody's view. I'll start with Harry. What is your kind of a takeaway from last night?
Well, number one, the Republicans gain seats in the Senate. What does that mean? It means that judicial appointments will move forward under this administration. In other words, the president will be able to appoint and confirm judges who believe in the rule of law, believe in the Constitution. That will indeed be his enduring legacy. Number two, there's a challenge that awaits Democratic leadership in the House. Will they work with the president on bipartisan and issues which advance the interest of working and middle-class Americans, or will they focus on opposition and investigations? That question is yet to be answered.
Well, and also, Jay, you know, you're going around the horn. If a president can issue executive orders, and they can be changed by the next president. Legislation enacted by Congress can also be changed. But judges have lifetime influence over the United States of America. He already has 84 judges that have been approved during his first 2 years. A lot more need to be approved. If you had to have one chamber of the Congress that you have control over, it needs to be the Senate. He did that, and the Republicans have actually increased their majority in the Senate. That will be the most significant thing to ensure an effective presidency over the next 2 years.
So, Jordan.
Republicans beat Bill Nelson. Republicans beat Joe Donnelly. They beat Claire McCaskill. They beat Heidi Heitkamp. They might beat John Tester. That race is still 10% out. Tester has a 1,000-vote lead or so. I mean, so, again, those four all voted against Brett Kavanaugh. All four try to play to the middle and try to act like moderates. And the people in their states have said, no, we don't buy that. And by the way, your votes show it. Claire McCaskill even tried to say, I'm not one of those crazy Democrats, except for she votes always against everything that – would be considered even moderately conservative. So I think, again, it was a great night statewide for governor, for a lot of governor's races as well. Democrats did well in some other governor's races, but I will say that there's still more Republican governors in the country, 27, than there are Democrat governors. So you have a state advantage there of who is leading our states. It is Republican governors. I think the House, yes, it could have gone better. For Republicans, I think the president's right, though. There were a lot of Republicans that are going home that never fully embraced President Trump, and they kind of cleared them out of the House. And these are all up for re-election. Unlike the Senate, these are all up for re-election in 2020 when President Trump is back on the ballot. Yep.
All right, Fan Bennett.
So legislation that was always going to be partisan, like the tax cuts, it was important to get that done in the first 2 years. They did it. Now they're going to have to shift on legislation to things that are more bipartisan. I think the president's well positioned to do that. The two additional items, think about how much easier it would be to fill a Supreme Court vacancy with 54 or 55 Senate seats than with 51. And the final point I would make, Jay, the most important power for continuing to draw down the regulatory burden on U.S. companies, that exists within the executive branch. You don't need the United States House to do much of that. I expect this president will continue right down that track. That'll be great for the economy.
All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, the ACLJ is also in a matching challenge campaign.
Yeah, that's right. The matching challenge, you go to aclj.org. Whatever you're able to donate is doubled. So if you donate $5, and that's all you're charged is the $5, your $5 donation becomes $10. Sometimes people get confused about that. Your amount's not being double charged. So if you donate $20, you're charged $20.
We get a match.
That is matched, so it's $40 to the ACLJ. And it's on up from there. That matching challenge is at aclj.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
There you go. That's kind of one of the first part of that lyric in there. Sleep all day, got all night. It kind of was like last night, but we're not going to get to sleep all day. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones. Jordan?
Yep, back to the phones we go. I'm just, some of this press conference is very interesting. this is an interesting call because people have kind of this got lost in the news, but someone who's back on the national stage now. So go to James in Missouri online,
okay,
too.
Yeah.
James, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, my gosh. I heard that announcement coming up, and I thought, oh, that's me.
Yeah. That's you. Your lucky day.
My man, Mitt, he's back in the public affairs.
Yep.
Love it. However, of course, we all know that him and the president kind of didn't...
Always agree.
Well,
look, it's politics. But James, go ahead and finish, but it's politics. Understand that.
But they didn't like each other, basically.
Yeah, but anyway. The president came out and endorsed him. I mean, at the end of the day, the president endorsed him. And look, Mitt Romney was considered for Secretary of State.
Yeah, I think that he came out and gave that speech against the president. That was still during the campaign.
Yeah.
He wanted other candidates to win. I mean, this no surprise there. They kind of made nice by the end of this and in the event after the president was elected. I think that for those kind of never-Trumpers that, it still exists, which not many do, who think that what Mitt Romney's going to come in the Senate and vote against, you know,
oh, I don't think that's
a good economic issue. No, I think he's going to be, again, I think he will speak his mind. When he feels like he agrees with the president, he'll agree. When he disagrees, he'll disagree. Unfortunately, I don't think he'll get as much chance this first couple of years he's elected to a 6-year term.
Right.
Of incredible legislation on the economy, because I think that's where Mitt really would shine. That being said, he's good at compromise.
You've worked
this
with him.
This is a guy who was a Republican governor of Massachusetts, which, by the way, a Republican governor of Massachusetts got reelected again last night.
Isn't that something, too?
Yeah, I mean, so he comes
and from Connecticut, right?
Yeah, and so he comes from places where you've had to work with Democrats before. That could be a real, really a big part of assisting someone like Mitch McConnell, because he's not coming in as as a junior senator. But it's someone who's got real experience on the national stage.
Yeah. So, Wes, you're looking at the situation. You spent a lot of time in Georgia, from Georgia. That race was a little closer than people thought, although I think Stacey Abrams lost, and she's just not conceding.
Yeah, that's true, and that's unfortunate. If she wants a political future in Georgia or elsewhere, she really needs to be gracious about this. I was thinking about it when Gillum last night conceded to DeSantis.
Yes. Yeah.
He actually had
saved his career.
He had a closer margin of votes to DeSantis
yes.
than she has with the Attorney General there in Georgia, I mean, Secretary of State. And yet she's not conceding, and that makes her look bad.
What do you think, Harry, on the governorship? When you look about a Republican governor of Connecticut, Republican governor in Massachusetts, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that you had Republican governors in California.
Absolutely. I think candidates, at the end of the day, do matter. But I also think in some of these states, they are simply fed up with the incumbents, or let's say the Democratic Party, in part because of the competence issue. Let me say two other things. Number one, the Republicans won in Ohio. That is a huge win. Michael DeWine, he was down in the polls for a while. And Ron DeSantis, he was in a very, very close, very, very tight race.
Yep.
Both of those states are hugely important for 2020. And so going forward, I think it bodes well for the Republicans in 2020 because they picked up Ohio and Florida.
Yep.
A number of Democrats are already crying in their beer about that.
Let's go right back to the phone. Scott in Colorado on line one. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Harry's crying in his beer.
Okay.
Oh, no, not me.
No, but, Harry's not crying in the beer. He's got... All right, we're not going to do that. Go ahead. Scott, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, okay, guys, great. Thanks. You know, my original question, I think it had been answered. I was wondering whether, you know, if Trump had a choice, which house he would rather have.
That's actually it's a very good question. Let me jump to that one, then we'll come back to your other question. So, Tham, my view is the Senate, because that's the judges. Yeah. That's the treaties, that's the ambassadors, and that's the backstop.
Yeah, it's not even close. The things that the president can do with only one chamber, he does it with the United States Senate. And again, I mean, I know it sounds like a broken record, but the most important one is judicial nominations. One in six federal judges already, Jay, after 2 years, are Trump appointees. After the next 2 years, that number is probably going to be something like one in three. And my goodness, he's already got two Supreme Court justices. That could be three or four in 2 years. So if you can only have one chamber, you absolutely want the United States Senate, which, you know, for many things, you do need more than a simple majority. In the House, they can pass a lot of things. They can send it to the Senate. It's a lot harder to get it through, though.
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
Also, you know, if you want to reshuffle your cabinet, it's the Senate who confirms that. And
yep.
By the way, by these Republican retirements, so like a Corker being replaced by a Blackburn. And
big difference for the president.
On Arizona, if it's McSally's able to carry
pull
this
off.
And pull this off. These are going to make it those confirmations much easier. I'm not just judicial, but also cabinet level positions and the sub cabinet level positions that require Senate confirmation.
So Scott, go ahead with the rest of your question.
Okay, yeah. So the rest of my question is, you know, I've been watching some of the liberal networks and
yep.
the Democrats are saying this is a big victory. Obama used the word that Trump.
No, it looks like we lost Scott.
Sorry, Scott. I think what he was saying was the Democrats saying it was a big victory for them. Well, it was in the House. It was a big
victory.
They
had a good night in the House.
Not a historic night, not a wave.
No,
it wasn't 60 votes in the House, which has been some of the others.
No, remember, the wave was like if they got into the 50s. That was what they were looking at. It was in the 50s, like the Nate Silver types said. Instead, they got into the...
How did the polling end up?
Not as bad as
it's... Although the Senate, though, didn't they have... They had...
The Senate were all pretty close. All these races were considered the toss-ups that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So the ones that we're talking about are the ones we're still talking about. And I mean, they were all within like 0.01, I mean, 0.1 or 0.2. I mean, so very close races. I think that underpolled in a few places. For instance, O'Rourke was probably polling better in Texas, honestly, and so was Stacey Abrams in Georgia. I mean, it shows you that it's tough to poll some kind of these insurgent candidates.
Yeah, so Will said Indiana, Missouri were outliers. I think that's probably correct.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty true. Let's go ahead and take Don's call, Jordan Line 3.
Yeah, hey, Don. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. Why don't the Republicans pass the immigration bill and make the tax cuts permanent before year end?
I don't know. Is that even possible?
Probably not. Look, it'd be wonderful, but I don't think that's probably right now. You have to deal with the reality that the House is controlled by the Democrats very soon. But look, here, I'll say this to the caller: if you're going to make an offer to the Democrats to make tax cuts on the middle class, which are many cases were Democrat voters who put new Democrats in office, if you're going to make that offer to House Democrats, do you want to run in 2 years having opposed that middle class tax cut? I'm not so sure on that either. Might still be on the table.
I think that look, I would go for comprehensive immigration reform when the new Congress is back in. See if you can show some bipartisanship. See if you can get the border security and the wall. And I think that would be a good compromise and a way to move forward and maybe and put DACA in there. And I think that would be a very good legislative victory for the president. Let's try to grab one more call before the break here, and then we'll get more calls afterwards.
Yeah, Raj called in from Virginia on line five. Raj, welcome to JSEC Live. Tough night for Republicans in Virginia.
Yeah.
Certainly a state that has changed. Not, some candidate issues there as well,
yep.
But a tough night in Virginia.
Go ahead, Raj.
I have been trying to reel back in my memory what happened 40 years ago when I helped with the ground game when Frank Wolf was first elected
yep.
to the 10th District. Thereafter, I've seen a change in the ground game. And we have presently in Northern Virginia a ground game which is close to zero.
Well,
it's because the Republican Party of Northern Virginia has been off the charts.
So here's what I think happened. You're talking about like Barbara Comstock's race, and I'm friends with Barbara. She's very bright and was a very good congresswoman. I think here's the problem that she had. I think that the decision on some of these members was we're gonna not have the president. Of course, he couldn't do a lot of House seats anyways.
Yeah.
But we're not going to embrace the agenda, so to speak, and we'll just see what happens.
She said she wouldn't vote for him.
Yeah.
She didn't vote for him. She actually announced that to everybody, trying to, as a political win. I mean, what's interesting is one of the commentators said this to the Democrats is that the Republicans who were like the never-Trumpers who were in the House are gone. They are
I
gone.
Think that's true with the Senate, too.
Yeah, and in the Senate, a lot of them were retired.
Ben, what's your view on that?
Yeah, I think the Republican conference in both chambers got closer to the president. I would say a couple of things. The district that Barbara Comstock was running in is no longer purple. It's blue. That's just part of the reason.
Yeah.
And I would say to Raj, too, there was still historic turnout for a midterm on the Republican
yes.
side. You don't pick up three seats in the United States Senate
no.
without that. So I'm not so sure it was a ground game issue.
All right, we're going to take your calls last segment here. 1-800-684-3110. We intentionally cleared out some lines for you. So 800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, last time we get to ask us anything, 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break. We'll take more of your phone calls. Facebook and Periscope, get your comments in as well. And, of course, we're going to go back to the – I think we're going to go right to the news conference. For those watching on our TV platforms, we're going to go right to the news conference in just a moment. But, again, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget the ACLJ and the ACLJ Matching Challenge campaign. You can do that at ACLJ.org. And, again, we'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad. Standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Was asked about, I told you this was 2020 was starting today, so the president was asked about running mates for 2020. Here's a question, here's the answer.
Do you want to lock down your ticket right now, sir? Will the vice president be your running mate in 2020?
Well, I haven't asked him, but I hope so. Where are you? Mike, will you be my running mate? Stand up, Mike, please. Raise your right hand. No, I'm all good. Will you? Thank you. Okay, good. The answer is yes.
Okay. Okay, so there you have it. I told this in very much reality, this is the beginning of campaign 2020.
Yeah.
It started.
You see the president re-engaging with the media.
Yep.
Different kind of tone. A little more funny, a little bit. I mean, last time we were going into very serious, it was a midterm election that
but
we
now,
had turnout that was unbelievable. Now, Washington's got to try to work together, and he's kind of setting the tone of, I will work with you Democrats, to an extent, but if you want to take all of your resources and time to come after me, I will go after you. And I've got Mitch McConnell, who's a pretty tough guy, who will lead that charge in the Senate with committees that have double the staff and double the resources and double the experience. Because the Senate staff are usually more experienced. They are more seasoned in Washington, D.C., more senior people. So you do this to me, I will do this to you. So a little bit of a threat, but that's only if you allow that to get out of control, Nancy, is what he's basically saying.
Yeah, I think that was right. Dan, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, look, and if they're going to beat him in 2 years, they're going to have to win in the Rust Belt. The formula hasn't changed for them. So Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio. And unlike last night, Jay, the president is very much on the ballot in 2020. So if those who are running for president against him in 2020 want to run in the Rust Belt while being obstructionist for the next 2 years, that's not going to work very well for them. So I mean, if they want to compete, I think they better legislate with him.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call. 1-800-684-3110.
Tim's calling in from Iowa, which had a big gubernatorial win for Republicans there last night. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Like a lot of your listeners, I was disappointed to see the House go to Democratic control.
Yeah,
but I've already got 2020 vision here for 2020. I got a prediction.
Yep.
I think that I heard Jason Chaffetz on Fox News earlier, and he was mentioning how the House is going to have the opportunity to legislate or to investigate. And
right.
He said they're not going to be able to help themselves. They're going to investigate. And here's
thing. You know what? If they do that, I mean, I'll let you finish, but if they do that, we'll be ready for that. I mean, you know, the president has he's got a new incoming White House counsel who's excellent. He's got Emmett Flood, who's already there as a White House counsel who's excellent and is staying. And then, as you know, he has outside counsel. But, you know, if it happens, we're prepared for it. I mean, this is not the first time this has happened in U.S. history, by the way. But I think you're going to see more legislating than investigating. There may be some, but they're going to – I think that's a high-risk move. Not that it won't happen, but it's a high-risk move, Harry, starting that way.
I think you're absolutely correct, and so I mean,
impeaching Justice Kavanaugh. I mean, this is that makes political fodder for
you're reelecting Donald Trump.
Yeah, then you're like yes.
Not only that, you are energizing the Republican base, and so it's a huge mistake. So I think the Democrats, at least initially, will focus on areas of bipartisan agreement. But I think by the second half of 2019. It will be difficult for the Democrats to control themselves.
Let me play what Lindsey Graham had to say about this impeachment threat.
If they want to impeach President Trump, I would give them some advice. I've been there, done that with Clinton. Didn't work out for us. I would think twice about it. It will blow up in their face.
And then I think that's right.
Yeah, and
especially
they just
with
the
Senate, with 55 possible Senate seats, there's no way that you have a conviction.
Well, yeah, it's going to go to the Senate and it's going to die upon arrival before it even gets there. But look, I mean, I think if you take a poll of the people who were actually elected to these House seats, I think you'll find the overwhelming sentiment is that they don't want to do that because they campaigned on a message that was against it. The first test vote, Jay, and again, we've said this before, the first test vote will be what Nancy Pelosi says to them when she asks for their vote for Speaker. And then based on what she says, do those Democrats who said they wouldn't vote for her when they come, do they cast a vote for her?
Yeah, you know, part of the reason that the Democrats gained so many seats last night, although it was not record-breaking, in the House, is that they actually put forth better candidates. They put forth candidates that identified with the people and the values in their districts. But not only that, they had a record number of young military veterans running as Democrats.
Yeah, they sure did.
These young Democrats, newly elected to the House, they do not want to be obstructionists. They want to get things done. And some of them have pledged not to vote for Nancy Pelosi because they want to get things done. So it'll be interesting to see how all this shakes out. But if they're smart, they will work with the president and try to move some legislation forward.
I think West brings up a good point. It was some of these military members that are now members of Congress. I don't think they're going to be so hot on impeachment or investigation.
It just depends. They're not politicians, though. They're going to be in Washington, D.C. They're going to be under a lot of pressure by the long-term politicians. We'll see if they can withstand it and kind of act as how they campaigned. I really question that. I don't believe most of them on the left will be able to, as Harry said, hold back. They may be for a little bit, maybe for, you know, like six months. But I think the closer it gets to the election and when President Trump has got, you know, is running for reelection and really in a year from now.
We said it started today, but it really gets going.
Well, let's say the rhetoric starts in a year from now, getting tough and nasty again. Are those newly elected Democrats to the House who are then also running again for themselves? They're up for reelection again.
Right.
Going to hold back on a guy who is going to war with them then. Remember, he will be going to war against all of those newly elected members of the House of Representatives. I don't think that they will. I think that you become Washington very fast.
Could be.
And that's an unfortunate thing, but I think that's the influence of the Nancy Pelosi types, the Nadler types, the Maxine Waters types, that the Democrat Party.
Will they be able to control it or not? That's really the question.
They're not going to move them out of the way. I mean, Nancy Pelosi got re-empowered, it looks like. I mean, there's a chance. As Stan said, there is a chance, Stan, right?
That, go ahead.
Based off numbers, she may not be the speaker. There's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, so it's going to be about 230 Democrats in the United States House. If it's 230, she can afford to only lose 12 and retain the speakership. So, yeah, there's an absolute chance. I would say this to you, though, Jordan. I think you're right that it's hard to predict what Democrats will do. I don't think it's hard at all to predict what the president will do. I think he will initially come to them and say, for the good of the country, I want to legislate with you. Will you work with me? Jordan, then the choice is up to Democrats. If they say yes, I expect the president will work with them. But if they say no, does anyone doubt what this president will do? He will say, fine, I'll take that to the election booth in 2020. I'll meet you there.
For 2 years against you. I will wage a political war against you for 2 years, and no one can withstand Donald Trump's political war.
The Washington Post just sent an alert saying President Trump attempts to take victory lap despite losing House. And then they say President Trump found Wednesday to work with the new Democratic House majority in a bipartisan manner, infrastructure, trade, healthcare, but warned that work would stall if Democrats use their subpoena power to investigate the administration as well as the president's personal finances and conduct in office. So this is, you know, the press is setting this up for the what I would call the investigative overreach issue. If there is, look, I mean, when they're empowered, Harry, we'll find. I mean, we got only 50 seconds here. We're going to find out within probably 4 months where this is going.
I think you're absolutely right. I think the Democrats, to use an overused word, are triangulated. The old guard, the leftists, and the new centrist.
Yeah.
And they will face a choice in terms of the direction they wish to take. Yeah.
The question is going to be whether the leadership can control where they go. Is that what you think?
Although, the leadership may be the ones
Nadler,
running.
Maxine, the committee
Waters. Maxine Waters is telling people that she's impeaching. So is Jerry Nadler. So these are the leaders of the committee. So I think they are making a huge mistake, and these junior members they brought on, by going to war with this president. One, they're not going to be able to do anything because the Senate's firmly now in Republican hands. And second, he's going to take him down one by one if he has to.
All right, we'll have more analysis tomorrow. Again, don't forget the ACLJ matching challenge, ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.